It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It's time for us now to ask a pastor. And for those of you who are interested in asking a question as well, please feel free to send those questions. We'd love to have a pastor answer your question as well. Joining us now is Pastor Andrew Peary again to give us some answers for the week. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Aye, and thank you very much for having me on.
Our question for today, Mfundisi, is should children be taught a comprehensive and a detailed overview of all the major religions at school? For example, in Africa, we have oh so many. Only in the Abrahamic faiths, we have Christianity, Islam, Judaism, the Baha'i faith. And then we have those that are outside the Abrahamic realm, like Hinduism, Buddhism, Babism, and the list goes on. And so the question is, should children be taught all of these comprehensively and in detail, at least the overview of all the major religions at school?
Thank you very much for that question. Now, when I heard the question the first time, I'm happy that there's a listener that's thinking and asking such a question, and so I welcome it. I'm hearing it now, and I'm thinking, well, the question says overview, not right. Like a comprehensive, like breakdown of like all the practices.
Well, they are saying a comprehensive and a detailed overview. Yes.
Right? So like that threw me off a bit, because if it's an overview, I'd say sure, because I did that when I was taking religious education. I was given an overview of various religions. But then if it's going to get into details, my simple answer would be no. And I'll say why. John chapter 16, verse 12. When Jesus is talking to the disciples, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There's hardly a way to gauge what students in a particular grade can take in that particular subject. Mm. So I'm saying no, not to mean they shouldn't know, but now to take the pressure to the family, to the parents at home, because that's their first school. I think some of these things should be handled by family, because then the family knows what they want to be, what they want their children to be able to learn. Luke chapter, is it chapter 2, verse 52? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. But the verse before that is that he went back home with his parents and he lived obedient with them. So I would say not in school, but at home. Should they be able to learn some of these things? Because then at home, the parents can gauge just how much the children can learn or take. In schools, with the setup that's there, it might be difficult. Children can get confused, and then it brings confusion in their home. See, that would be my answer.
Seeing that parents hardly ever teach their children anything, it was a task and a toll during COVID for parents to teach their children and have them sit in front of their laptops or computers for these Zoom classes and then help them with their homework. It was a headache, Pastor. It was a bit of a situation where parents were really complaining both on social media and on radio, complaining, how am I going to deal with these children? Some parents are discovering for the first time that their children have concentration problems, their children have got handwriting problems and comprehension problems. If parents have this problem of teaching at home to begin with, do you imagine it will ever happen? This comprehensive overview? Do parents even have the equipment, the know-how, the knowledge base to share with their children as detailed and as comprehensive as they ought to be, albeit an overview?
So I am alive to that reality that there are some homes where there's no time. There is no interest from the parent to teach the children anything. That's why I'm paying so much money at school. So you go learn at school, right? But sincerely, the pressure or the responsibility is first in the home. So if the parent feels, hey, I can't teach you that, I think you should learn it at school, then that parent should be okay. But to say that it should be done in schools, then there's a few parents would be uncomfortable with that. I would have no problem with my child learning it at school. Then we come and discuss it at home, and then I can correct what was said and what was not said correctly, you know. But then again, there's that parent who doesn't have the interest of finding out. It would bring confusion in their home, because now the person, let me read something from Adventist Home. The person who's taught them hasn't exactly taught them right.
Okay.
Something from home. Let me see. It's on page 182, where it says, in his wisdom, the Lord has declared that the family shall be the greatest of all educational agencies. It is in the home that education of the child is to begin. Here is his first school. Here, with his parents as instructors, he is to learn the lessons that are to guide him throughout life. Lessons of respect, obedience, reverence, self-control. The educational influences of the home are a decided power for good or for evil. Then she goes on a little later. She says, if the child is not instructed right there, Satan will educate him through agencies of his choosing. So if he's just neglected to school without an input from home,
right,
chances are the child might be confused.
That perspective, Mfundisi, is, I'm not quite sure how to put it. I'm definitely sure that the prophetess is not referring to parents teaching their children quadrants, teaching them geometry, trigonometry.
Right.
She's not expecting the parents to teach chemistry at home, to teach biology. She's not expecting children, parents to know the difference between a ventricle and a literal. All these things that would be taught at school, it is almost impossible for parents to know, because parents would have to go and learn them anew themselves. We have parents today who are Seventh-day Adventists, but who don't know their scriptures. They don't know how to teach their own Bibles. Now, to expect that parents would know what's in the Quran, to expect that parents would know what is in the Bhagavad Gita, to know what is in the gleanings from the writings of Baha'u'llah, all of these in pieces of information that reside within the various faith communities are far, far away. I mean, if our own scriptures are far from us as parents today, is your expectation that parents will be the primary source of education realistic? I would ask that to the prophetess. I mean, right now, we have churches who are struggling to have parents distinguish between Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we're going to have parents teach other faiths if they can't learn and know their own. Your take on this?
So you see, this is where I enjoy discussing with you. You're in journalism, but then when we sit to discuss theology, you have some very good questions. And I have no doubt if your child came to have a discussion with you about God and life, you would engage, right?
Yes.
Because you've taken an interest in that area.
It's my job.
And I think that's, and I think even for them, it should be an interest. Just take an interest in some of the key things. I mean, I look at the syllabus now and how much it's changed, and I worry for when I have children that are going into junior high,
right?
Because I can't help them with homework
right,
at all,
right?
Because the things they are studying, I'm like, yo, this thing confused even me.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But then there's subjects that I can take an interest in and actually engage. I could read up a little bit just so I can connect with my child, because remember that this education is a way of connecting as well.
Right.
So I would expect that a parent would want to connect with their children. I would expect that a parent would want to train up a child in the way he should go. Because if you're not doing that, then you're just a surrogate and the teacher is the parent.
I understand the necessity, influence. I'm not disputing the necessity. It is the knowledge base that I'm wondering if it is realistic to expect parents to have.
Mm. I think just the interest is enough for the parent to have.
Okay.
Because then if you hear something that's of concern, then take a little more time and read up a little in that area and say, hey, can we talk about this on Thursday?
Right.
In the evening? Let me read up a little bit on it.
Okay.
Take the interest of asking the question, hey, what did you learn in school today?
Right.
And then when you hear something that you'd be like, I don't know if that's really it. You know what I mean? Right now there's the debate of the flat earth and the round earth.
Right, right.
And if you're a parent who's on one end, then you want to sit down with your child and actually teach them what it is, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's just the interest and then being able to schedule time and say, hey, can we talk about this on this day?
Okay.
Let me read up a little. And then keep your end and read and then come have that discussion. I think a child would really appreciate that effort and that connection and being like, I had this discussion with my father and he said this.
Right,
or I had this discussion with my mother. Yeah.
Okay.
And I know that life is expecting so much from, like, at work and everything.
Right.
But home is our first responsibility.
Eish. Eish. Mondis, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Talk to you
thank
tomorrow.
You, Naya.
Pastor Andrew Peter answering a question for today. Should children be taught a comprehensive and a detailed overview of all major religions at school? The pastor says no. You, the parent, have got that job.
Don't just exist. Live. Live on AWR SID Media.